All right, if you're just joining us, a very, very strange day as new developments have arisen in the Jussie Smollett case. All criminal charges dropped against him, which is kind of surprising. It's very surprising. several texts, Wendy, coming in. There was one in particular that I wanted to read to you. It has to do, the gist of many of these are, well, let me read this one. Hey, Bill, Wendy, and Steve, this just proves once again that pretty much anyone in show business, in politics, or whatever has some sort of pull of power and will always have better opportunities to get out of a crime far easier than your average person. That includes both women actors and the college bribery scandal as well.
I don't know if I 100% believe that. There are many things we don't know about this. You know, perhaps, and I can only liken it to, that's why we have Rich Lankoff, who's going to be on with us after the 11:30 news. You know, if you're not arrested properly, if they didn't read you your Miranda rights, they can drop though. I mean, if things aren't done by the book,
right,
charges can be dropped.
Right.
I'm thinking it's more along those lines.
You don't think he's gotten any preferential treatment at all because of some celebrity?
From who?
I'm trying to figure that out,
too. Not the city of Chicago, man. They're not happy with how he made the city look.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be giving him the special treatment. It's just so confusing. I was just telling you off the air as I'm watching him walk away and dealing with the people talking to him. It's like, I am so fickle. I feel so sorry for him.
I'm reserving that feeling until I know if I know what really happened. Today, you want to feel sorry for him if this is true, but every
What's
time you
true
think,
anymore?
Yeah. Every time you think it's one thing, it's another thing with this case. So I get you wanting to feel sorry for him, but I'm still holding out until I know what happened or more information.
I want to know about the Kim Fox connection.
Yeah.
Because she recused herself from this case.
Yeah.
Is there something that happened there that maybe made this...
There was a question toward the end of the press conference, and I don't remember if it's when his attorney was speaking or when he was speaking, but toward the very end, somebody yelled out the question, are the attackers still out there? Is that assuming that the attackers are not these brothers that we've believed the attackers to be since early on in the case?
Forgive me for thinking that that was like an OJ question that they asked him. Do you think the killer's still out there? That's the first thing
but,
I thought
of. But that's a question that kind of comes with the reporter's kit when
I guess,
you're in a situation like this. That's a question that somebody's going to ask.
And, Rich, why don't you just come in here? We'll continue talking about this, but Rich Lankoff, I mean, I just hate throwing this around when we don't have legal counsel to answer this. Rich Lankoff, attorney at law, partner at Bryce Downey and Lankoff. He also does a podcast here at WGN or your favorite podcasting platform. It's called Legal Face Off. Just so many of these questions. Did this come as a shock to you?
Yeah, just when I thought Avenatti was the biggest legal story of the day, and preparing to talk about that,
not anymore.
Smollett, yeah, I mean,
but then
Avenatti's
co-conspirator was also one of Jussie Smollett's attorneys.
That's Mark Garagos.
Yeah, Mark Garagos,
and then this blows up like a day after. This is just bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Chicago legal community and the Chicago political scene.
So Garagos is having a game of good news, bad news today.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday, as you mentioned, he was named as an unindicted co-conspirator in the Michael Avenatti arrests on both coasts for bank fraud, wire fraud, of course. We all heard that he was linked to extortion of Nike.
Of Nike. How do you extort Nike? Just don't do it. I just don't get it.
Right.
The biggest question I have, and we can again discuss this, and listeners, get your questions ready. Why would Eddie Johnson go and speak at a press conference and then go on Good Morning America if he had any doubt to the accuracy of the findings? Why?
Yeah, he didn't know. By all reports, we now know that Superintendent Johnson was not aware that the state's attorney was going to drop or recommend to the judge.
No, originally, he went on to say that it's just such a bad spot for Chicago and it's terrible what he did. Why would he go on TV and say that if he didn't think that the results were 100% accurate?
I think what we clearly see, and the reason for that is because we're dealing with two different interests involved here. I think the police believed in the strength of their case, and I took Superintendent Johnson at his word when he said very publicly, as you mentioned, that the case was strong versus the state's attorney. You mentioned Kim Fox. I certainly think it's suspicious that you know, the case is now dropped in the wake of what we've heard about her involvement with the family. So I think there's a lot of questions. There's more questions now that we have, more questions than answers, obviously, given that this is breaking news. But yeah, very suspicious. I don't think Johnson was involved in this decision.
No.
Well, that's what it was reported in our newsroom, that the Chicago police did not know this was about to go down today, from what I understood in our newsroom.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reports you're referring to also reference that he's very upset. You know, he's not happy that he's made to look this way, and understandably so. I mean, he was very vocal in asserting Jussie Smollett's guilt and the strength of their evidence. I think this comes as a surprise to him.
Let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news.
There is no break.
There are
We're
no breaks.
Go right to news.
All right. Then let me ask you this while we have a minute or two. A texter said this is a clear-cut case of an Alford plea. I may be wrong on this, but that's where you're pleading guilty or pleading innocent, but you know there's some guilt involved, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that is correct. Although from the press conference, I haven't looked at it yet, but I just saw a couple of screenshots from Jussie Smollett. He seemed... And his statement from his rep seems very confident, and it asserts again that he did nothing wrong. So I think he is maintaining that there was no evidence against him, that he was not involved at all.
Which he's been saying
consistently. I mean, he pled not guilty 2 weeks ago when we saw him in court. So I don't know what's behind it.
Will we know? Do you think this will come out?
Well, I think the reports are that the case is also sealed. So we won't officially hear what the evidence was or what was missing. I think given the... visibility of the case, we'll probably hear it through some other sources. I think someone will probably leak it, but I haven't read the order yet, but I think the case is sealed is what
it is sealed, and I can just tell you from experience that I have worked a lot of CPD cases in my career here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I have never seen the CPD leak as much in any other case concerning any other crime since I've been here in Chicago. Everybody was talking about this, not just the guy down the street that runs the beat. I mean, everybody was talking about this because everybody was upset. I know that CPD officers, some of my sources, are furious that this case was dropped, and the Sun-Times is reporting that the superintendent also is furious that the case has been dropped against Smollett too, said that the evidence against him was rock solid.
So what happens? Can he be recharged again? This just seems like it's a push me, pull you kind of thing. Two sides saying, no, the charges are dropped. Really? Because we have stuff. This just seems crazy. And you think the alleged fake attack made our city look bad? Look what's going on here. Are we making it up as we go along?
Yeah, I think you need to hear from Kim Fox pretty quickly. I'd be shocked if she didn't come out today and explain some of the reasoning behind her decision. Yeah, I think it looks ridiculous, especially given, again, as Eric mentioned, how strong the case was and how much evidence there allegedly was to simply drop charges today. I think makes the legal system look ridiculous.
Wow. All right, let's do this. We'll get you some news right now.
Is this an episode of Empire that they're filming that we're all in on?
Yes. I told you, it's like early on when this first broke 2 months ago, I said if SVU or some show doesn't do an episode on this, they're crazy because it's such a bizarre story. It just got stranger and stranger. So let's see what happens. Some news and then more show. Rich Lankoff is here. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200 is the way to get that done. The news report is sponsored by TradingAcademy.com. Here is Eric Rung.
And we continue to follow the developments in the Empire actor Jussie Smollett's case. Chicago police say they were not given a heads up that the charges against the Empire actor were going to be dropped and expunged today. The Sun-Times reporting that CPD is furious about the charges being dropped, saying that the evidence is rock solid against Smollett. You'll remember that the actor said he was attacked by two men in a hate crime last January. Chicago police say he made it all up to get a raise. Apparently, prosecutors say they are happy with his past community service and Smollett forfeiting his $10,000 bond money. His attorneys say there was no plea deal. Here's one of his attorneys speaking to the media a short time ago.
We have nothing to say to the police department except to investigate charges and not try their cases in the press, but to allow matters to be investigated, allow the state to investigate.
We are still awaiting comment from Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, as well as Mayor Rahm Emanuel. That should be happening within the next hour or two. And you know, Smollett could still be charged federally because of the letter sent to Empire that Chicago police say Smollett had mailed to himself that also had some indications of hate crimes in that letter. So we're still awaiting word from the federal government on if any charges will be filed there. Now, a group calling themselves Fair Maps, rallying on the steps of the Supreme Court today to end the practice of gerrymandering. The high court holding hearings for cases from North Carolina and Maryland that concern redistricting. The demonstrators want the justices to declare gerrymandering unconstitutional. Four people, including two police officers, were sent to the hospital after a fire broke out in a home in Palos Hills early this morning. Family of five was inside at the time. Three people got out on their own. Two others were trapped and had to be rescued. Person who lives nearby says the fire may have been caused by someone smoking. The official cause is still under investigation. We'll check your money, sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Eric, thanks. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Rich Lankoff is sitting in with us, attorney at law, a partner over at Bryce Downey and Lankoff LLC. We're talking about the strange twists and turns that we've been watching over the past hour or so.
And then more twists and turns.
And then there's more in the Jesse Smollett case. Rich, please explain what we're experiencing because I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, I wish I usually pride myself on coming into your show with a lot of answers, legal answers. On this case, I don't have that many because it's all breaking and it's very, very strange. There's a lot of strange elements to this. We covered earlier the idea that the police and Superintendent Johnson felt that their case was very strong and it looked strong up until this point. You know, this was not supposed to happen today. I think it was an unplanned court appearance. Until now, 2 weeks ago, we heard some of the case against Smollett, and we heard that it was strong. It's Smollett, of course, pled not guilty, but this is all a surprise to, I think, all of us involved.
All right, my question, when Eddie Johnson spoke and was so emotional about this case, and here's what we know, was that fact at that point? Was it speculation?
I think it was fact. I mean, we didn't hear or see all of the evidence, of course, that they had.
But that was his conclusion of here's how it went down.
Absolutely. What we knew at the time was some details about the, you know, bodybuilder brothers. We knew that they were involved. We knew a little bit. We had seen the video of them purchasing some of the tools involved. So I think all of us believe that the evidence was strong and took Superintendent Johnson at his word. So I think, as Eric Rung mentioned earlier, he felt blindsided by this announcement. And apparently by some reports, at least from the Sun-Times, he is unhappy with this decision.
It was such a passionate speech about what a black mark this was on our city. And you think to yourself, in putting that together, you have to have a pretty good case, or why bother doing it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could criticize the police superintendent, I think, for a lot, but I don't think he would come out as forcefully as he did and as publicly as he did explaining how strongly he felt about the case if the evidence wasn't strong. So
you'll remember, too. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
No,
you
please,
remember,
Eric.
He said... And I've never seen the superintendent this angry, like visibly angry. He said he was pissed. Like he just went right out and said it. He was extremely upset about this entire case. And there, I cannot see under any circumstances that he would be going out there in front of a microphone, in front of a national audience, if he did not believe what his detectives had uncovered. He even went through the timeline of what happened that night, followed the brothers from their house to where they say that he met Smollett and where the alleged attack happened. They had all of that information outlined and gave it to the press.
Yeah, so I mean, let's presume that the evidence was strong and the case was proceeding as planned. Then the question obviously on everyone's mind is what happened? What happened between...
Yeah.
You know, as recently as, let's say, yesterday and today. I mean, the last time he was in court was 2 weeks ago. At that point, the case was still as strong as we thought it would be. So what happened? I mean, who knows?
Well, Jesse Smollett maintained his innocence on this. My question to you is what was proceeding? Because Eddie Johnson came out and said, you know, this is what happened. This is how we believe this happened. Then there was an emergency session called for today. How could Chicago police or investigators not be aware of this? Is that common?
No, very uncommon. I mean, again, this, the state's attorney and the police are supposed to be working together, obviously. We all know from the opening to Law and Order that there are two separate but equally important parts of the law, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to be working together. So in every case that I've seen, and of course that anyone's seen, generally the police bring the evidence to the prosecuting attorney, the state's attorney, and they then proceed legally to prosecute the case. And generally you work hand in hand. And if you don't, then you decide that earlier on in the case, especially given the high-profile nature of this case and the high-profile nature of the defendant. So to arrive at this late point in the case and decide that you no longer have sufficient evidence on 18 separate charges, I haven't seen that before. It's pretty unusual. So something happened. And I don't think it was that the evidence went bad. When you mentioned earlier, you know, was maybe he not Mirandized or something like that. In my experience, you wouldn't get to this point with that evidence being tainted.
That would have come out before.
That earlier. It could have, it could happen later, but in this case, with the amount of eyes on it, and it reaching to the level of the superintendent and the state's attorney, I would be hard-pressed to believe that something went wrong this late in the case.
Rich, I mentioned before you got here, we've had several texters, a bunch of texters, just say, well, obviously, he's rich, he's famous, he's powerful, so the rules are different for him. Is that the case at all with him?
Well, I mean, you know, I would like to say no. I hope that's not the case. I mean, you've seen high-profile examples of people like Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, obviously, who are in the news, R. Kelly, who are all prosecuted. Michael Avenatti is a very high-profile attorney. The prosecutor said yesterday, it doesn't matter who you are, we're going to come after you if you commit a crime. So I hope that's not the case. Jussie Smollett does have a very expensive, high-profile attorney named Mark Garagos, who, yeah, as we mentioned earlier, is now involved in the Avenatti case. So he's got a good lawyer who's a very aggressive attorney. I'm sure that had something to do with the case, the charges being dropped. But is there a direct correlation between having a lot of money and having the case dismissed? I hope not. I would like to think not.
And remember a few weeks ago, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul wanted his sentence to be stiffer. That was brought up.
Yes.
That was denied.
Correct.
I don't even understand this at all.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of politics involved. We covered, you know, when we taped our show a couple of days ago, we talked about the Kwame Raoul attempt to have the Supreme Court of Illinois stiffen the sentence of Jason Van Dyke. That was very political. Even the decision was very political because I figure that's what you're referring to. But the Supreme Court in Illinois came down by strict party lines, and it was a 4-2 decision. Guess what? The dissent was Republican, and the majority was Democrat. So there's politics involved in all of this, and there's race involved in all of this, obviously, too. And you've got the mayoral election in the middle of this. You've got, you know, Kim Fox. You've got a lot of different elements at play here, none of which should matter, of course. You would like to believe that none of that matters in the criminal system, but who knows why this decision was made.
When you're asking for a stiffer sentence on something like that, are you asking it for that specific case, or are you asking for it as a deterrent for anybody else who might be considering something like this?
It's a good question. The Van Dyke situation, I think it was more for this case, because this case, of course, the Van Dyke case was so high profile, such a national story. Kwame Raoul and the prosecutor in that case petitioned the Supreme Court to stiffen this particular sentence because, you know, 7 years in the mind of a lot of people in the Van Dyke situation was way too low. I mean, Tony Preckwinkle last week came on and said, when you look at some of the, you know, African-American people who are sentenced to 80 years for murder, yet Van Dyke, this white police officer, was only sentenced to 7 years, she drew a distinction there. So I think they were looking at this particular case, and especially given the law involved in the Van Dyke situation, it is really particular to this case.
We need to take a break. People have some questions. What about keeping bond very unusual? We addressed that. That's typically not the case, as Jussie Smollett's attorney said. Oh, a lot of people do that. We are talking to Rich Lankoff, attorney at law, partner at Bryce, Downey, and Lankoff. He's also one of the hosts of Legal Face-Off. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's 720 WGN. All right, and we're talking to Rich Lankoff. Thank you for coming in at such a last-minute request. He's attorney at law and partner at Bryce Downey and Lankoff. Also, one of the hosts of Legal Face Off. A bunch of listeners have some questions as we discuss Jussie Smollett and now how the charges have been dropped. Eric has a question for you. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, my question is, first of all, how does Kim Fox recuse herself from it and then come back in and drop the charges?
Yeah, I mean, very strange. I think her office dropped the charges, right? I mean, she leads the office. I think she personally recused herself given her involvement that we saw in the text messages between her and the family. But, you know, ultimately, she leads an office. I think her office made the decision. Obviously, I think she would be aware of it. She would be involved. But I think she would probably say today when we hear from her that, you know, she was still recused, but her office made the decision. Not unlike, you know, in the Mueller situation, in the Russia probe situation, the AG, Jeff Sessions, refused himself so that his deputy took over.
Thank you very much for your call, Eric. And Nancy has a question I think we're all thinking about. Hi, Nance.
Hi. He gives us $10,000 instead of suing us. It makes no sense.
And will he? Is that it instead? Because he's got a defamation case going strong, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. They ruined his career. They ruined his public image. They put him through all this stress and everything. He's got to be guilty.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be guilty.
Wrongful.
Go ahead.
No, wrongful prosecution. I mean, I think that there is some civil exposure here for the city. But you're right. I think the fact that he agreed to forfeit the $10,000 bond, which normally is returned, the bond is a method by which the court ensures that you show up for hearings. So the fact that he's giving that up and the fact that he's doing or has done community service, to me, is bizarre. I mean, on the one hand, his attorneys have said there is no plea deal. Those two elements certainly sound to me like a plea deal, as part of a plea deal. So
is this in lieu of a lawsuit? Like, this is so unheard.
Who knows? I don't think so. I mean, I think it would be strange, and certainly the court order wouldn't read that he agrees to give up a civil lawsuit. I don't think that would be part of any agreement, but who knows?
Do you think he's going to sue the city? Thank you, Nance.
I don't think so. I think the fact that he gave up the $10,000 signifies that, you know, he wants the issue to be resolved. But who knows? Who knows what's inside of his head? As the caller mentioned, he is probably very angry. And if he is not guilty, and certainly legally he is not, then you've seen many people go after the police in the city and receive, as we've all seen, record numbers of settlements by the city council for such things. So
his empire reign is over because of this.
Well, he went back to work. I was saying earlier, I read a story about how his coworkers are not comfortable with him of late, as you would imagine. But now that changes the whole dynamic.
Well, they
again,
cut
right?
him out of the last three or last two episodes, and he's supposed to have a music video that they cut as well. So he pretty much was cut out of the last few episodes. I don't know if he was officially fired from that show, but he's certainly not on it anymore.
Yeah, he was, I think, terminated for the last two shows, as you mentioned. I mean, I think, who knows? I mean, there's going to be more facts that come out, right? We're going to learn a little more. So it's hard to speculate at this point. But, you know, if he is, in fact, not guilty and back to being a victim of a hate crime, I think many people will be sympathetic to him. I think forever, though, he'll have a cloud over his head, even if legally these charges were dismissed. I think it's inevitable that people will question what really happened.
Right.
I cringe at the time you say legally dropped, because what does that even mean? I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, all we know right now is that the prosecution, the state's attorney, did not feel apparently that they had enough evidence to go forward with the prosecution. We don't know why. We don't know how that changed. But as far as the court's concerned, you know, that's what they've ruled. That's
Rich, again, prior to your getting here, I asked about the motive of these two brothers, right? What would their motive be if they had a relationship, if money changed hands, whether or not it was for his training or not by them, there was some sort of a knowledge of each other and some bond. What would their motive be for going after him? I don't understand it.
the old standard fame and fortune, right, that you always hear about whistleblowers. You always blame the whistleblower because they are going after fame and fortune. We talked about this on our show a couple days ago, that name me one accuser of a high-profile defendant that's ever really achieved fame and fortune from coming out, right? I mean, the standard answer is, oh, this accuser of Bill Cosby or this accuser of Michael Jackson is after money. I mean, we saw this in the wake of the Michael Jackson documentary as recently as the last 2 weeks, that these people are making these accusations, not because they're true, but because they're looking to make a career. Again, name me one person who's accused someone who's then gone on to some career. It doesn't happen.
Sure.
So I think to your point, you believe them. You believe that someone wouldn't make this up. They wouldn't come forward except because it's true. Now, again, Smollett has said that the money, the check, that's one of the big pieces of evidence, was for supplements and as payment for training.
Yeah.
Who knows? We haven't heard from them.
The Andero brothers.
The brothers, so yeah. I don't know what they're going
to
say.
Have they been able to cash that check? Do they have that money in their account? Or is that being held as evidence?
I don't know. I have no idea.
At least you can deposit checks electronically now, so you can hold on to checks instead of it going back to the original writer. So yeah. I don't know what's going on with this, but it's very confusing. And unfortunately, we are out of time.
But you have to admit, as somebody who is around cases all day every day, there's nothing like this.
Very, very unusual. As a legal analyst, it's great stuff for us because keeps us talking about very interesting cases. But yeah, very unusual. Again, I think there's more to come. Obviously, I think once we hear from Kim Fox, I don't think she's going to tell us anything, to be honest, but I think we'll get a sense from her demeanor about what's going on. But yeah, as Eric Rung mentioned earlier, there are a number of leaks. We will hear some more from leakers in this case as to what really went down.
Rich, thanks.
Why aren't we hearing from Kim Fox now? I mean, isn't it?
I was her, I'd be up there as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Rich Lankoff, attorney at law, partner over at Bryce Downey and Lankoff LLC. And you can hear his WGN Plus podcast, Legal Face Off, right here on WGN. Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.